Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the first time you have run for political office.
Yes, this is the first time I've run for office.
This is a big one to take on, the U.S. Senate, for a first-timer.
Yep, I often get asked, you know, why the U.S. Senate? And happy to go into that in more detail, but there's a method to the madness.
So tell us.
So, you know, the reason I'm running for office, this isn't something that I've kind of dreamed of my whole life and worked my whole career to lead up to. I really am getting involved in office because I feel like most American voters are frustrated and exhausted at this point, and certainly most Missourians fit that description. We're frustrated with what the two parties are producing, and we are exhausted by the constant barrage of angry and divisive rhetoric of people trying to convince us that our neighbors are our enemies. And I felt like I wanted to get involved because I have the resources to get involved. I have the skills I think can be useful in healing these divides. But if I really wanted to make a meaningful difference, I felt like it could only be accomplished in the Senate, and here's why. At a local level, yes, you can make a really big difference in local politics, but I actually feel like, excuse me, sorry about that. I feel like the problems that we're facing are really at the national level. That's where I have concern. That's where I feel like there's this breakdown and total dysfunction because of the two-party system. And if I want to make a difference at the national level, number one, I feel like I had to run as an independent. I feel like so many people have gone to Washington with the best of intentions, saying, hey, I'm going to fix the system, I'm going to drain the swamp, however they want to phrase it. But after you've run an entire campaign as a member of one of the two major parties, you get to Washington and you discover the pressure to conform as a member of a party is incredibly intense. And so I have a more optimistic view of our leadership as individuals, but an extremely pessimistic view of the two-party system and what it does to people as they get to Washington. So I felt like I had to run as an independent, but if I ran as an independent for the House, just the structure of the House and the way that the House works, an individual independent would just get crushed. I feel like really wouldn't be in a position to influence things or change the way that things work. Whereas an independent in the Senate, every individual senator has an incredible amount of influence. And we've seen in the past few years what kind of large influence kind of middle sitting senators can wield, you know, in Joe Manchin, Kirsten Sinema, Mitt Romney, all these people that every single vote, they're the ones that people are turning to and saying, what do they think? What do they think? Because they're the ones that are really the swing votes that impact the way that the Senate ends up working. So that's a long explanation to say, I feel like in order to accomplish what I'm actually setting out to accomplish, it had to be the Senate and it had to be as an independent.
Have you been politically active before?
You know, early on in my early 20s, I was, I don't know if politically active is the right word. I was certainly politically interested. I did a lot of government internships, worked in every branch of government in my early 20s. I interned at the state legislature at the end of college and really thought maybe that's a path I'd be interested in. I got to law school at Harvard and really got exposed to kind of how the political system works. And that was a total turnoff for me. And I thought, ooh, this is how it really works. I don't think I'm that interested in it, and really pivoted more to the business side of things. And so I would say I was interested early on, but turned my back on it for a long time, and have just felt pulled back into it over the last 8 or 10 years as I've seen our country. I feel like just really going off the rails, not in terms, I'm not talking about specifically that the Republicans or the Democrats are taking us off the rails. I have concerns on both sides and for different reasons. I just feel like our approach to politics has gone off the rails and we've completely lost the ability to disagree productively. I don't think we should stop disagreeing. We just need to learn to disagree better.
You mentioned you've been in the business world. Give our listeners some idea of industries you've worked in and what your roles have been.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I went to law school, and so I spent my first year or two out of law school as an attorney, actually in Washington, D.C., working for a large law firm out there. I did corporate law and mergers and acquisitions, but I knew as I graduated from law school, I was going to pivot to pure business the first chance that I got. And that chance came in the form of joining kind of a mid-sized business in Southwest Missouri. So I went from D.C. to Southwest Missouri, not the usual path that people take, but we've really loved it out here. And I joined a business that did HR outsourcing. So we would do payroll and benefits and HR consulting and workers' comp and things like that for employers all over the Midwest region. And what it means is that I have worked with and served all kinds of businesses all throughout Missouri and throughout the Midwest. Anything from, dentist offices to manufacturers to slaughterhouses to, I mean, really all over the map. I've been exposed to their businesses and seen really how hard it is to run a smaller mid-sized business in our regulatory environment and the impact that government has on businesses.
So let's talk about your platform, your beliefs. How would you categorize yourself? You mentioned the word centrist. Is that where you fall, or does it depend on the issue?
I think the beauty of running as an independent is it can depend on the issue. I think if you were to take kind of my entire set of ideological views and put them somewhere on the spectrum, I would be classified as center right. I up until 2016, I generally voted Republican most of my life. There were exceptions to that, and but I think what I've learned over time, I've spent time in very, very conservative places, and I've spent time in very, very liberal places, and what I've learned is that good ideas come from all over the spectrum. Yes, I have a view that generally believes in small government and conservative values, but that doesn't mean that there aren't some great ideas and some great instincts that come from the other side of the aisle. And so that's why I think it's so important for us to break out of the two-party system. And so my platform and my approach and the party that I've started, which we can talk about more later, is more about an approach and less about a specific set of issues. Now, that being said, I feel like there are a number of issues that we are not making progress on simply because of the partisan warfare, issues that there's actually broad consensus among American voters, but we're just stuck because people are trying to play political games.
Let's talk about specifically some of those issues. One of the big ones in the nation right now is immigration. Where do you fall? Give us some specifics on what you think would fix the system.
Yeah, so immigration is one of the top issues that I talk about on the campaign trail because I think it's the best example of an area where there's pretty broad consensus if you just talk to average people on the street, and it's just Washington dysfunction that's stopping us from moving forward. So I think a secure border is absolutely essential. It's an important part of us being a sovereign nation. We need to be able to decide who comes over our borders and whether we want them here. And that's not the situation right now. I think it's foolhardy and dangerous for us to be adopting policies or ignoring policies in such a way that we're just letting floods of people come in without us accounting for them. So I am in support of a lot of the measures, that almost passed in that bipartisan measure in the Senate is now what, 2, 3, 4 months ago, changing some of the refugee laws so that it's harder to claim refugee status, increasing the funding for immigration judges so that we can work through that process more quickly, increasing security at the border, again, so that we are controlling who comes in and who comes out. So I think that's incredibly important. We do need to increase border security and improve the border security process. But on the other hand, I acknowledge, and most Americans acknowledge, that we need legal immigrants. They're an incredibly important part of our economy. They're an important part of our culture. And there's no way, with the way our demographics are developing, there's no way we can grow our economy the way we want it to grow without lots and lots of legal immigrants. So at the same time we're increasing border security and improving that process, we need to be improving the process and easing the process for legal immigrants to come into the country and provide those skilled workers that we need.
Next issue, abortion. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I would consider myself a moderate pro-lifer. I'm generally opposed to abortion. I feel like it causes harm not just to a potential baby, but also to the mother. But I am also opposed to the complete and total abortion ban that we currently have in Missouri. I feel like a reasonable compromise is somewhere around a 15-week ban with reasonable exceptions for, health emergencies or rape or incest. And again, I think that's where most Missouri voters and most American voters end up. There's just so much emotional charge into the issue. We have trouble having discussions about it.
Have we put women at risk in Missouri because of the policies that are in place right now?
I mean, it's entirely possible. I know people love to grab the most extreme stories and kind of broadcast them and act like that's the case for everyone. I think in Missouri, we have some border states that people can go to if things get really extreme. I haven't heard of a lot of situations in Missouri specifically. Most of the examples I've heard of are in, Texas, Idaho, where people have run into these awful situations where they can't get the health care that they need. But I think the law is set up in such a way that we could end up with some very regrettable, dangerous situations that simply don't have to be.
The last thing I'll ask you about platform is gun law and public safety. Obviously, in the St. Louis Metro, that's a serious issue. What would you change?
So a lot of my view on kind of Second Amendment rights and gun laws comes from my experience when I was living in Boston. I lived in Boston at the time of the Boston Marathon bombing. And so I experienced that lockdown and where, I don't know if people remember, but there was this police chase in the middle of the night and one of the terrorists was killed and the other ended up just kind of disappearing. And so they locked down the entire city to find that terrorist and nobody knew where he was. And where he was last seen was about a mile from my house. And so we sat there all day just scared, afraid literally that a terrorist was going to show up in our backyard. And at that time, I didn't have a gun in the house and I had two little kids and I felt incredibly vulnerable and I felt like a bad father, frankly, because I wasn't in a position to protect my family. And where he ended up being found was in a backyard, just a few streets over from us. So that was a kind of a formative experience for me on Second Amendment rights. I now have a gun in the home. I'm a gun owner. And it's important to me. And I feel like it's an important right that we need to defend. That being said, I think we need to be open to reasonable reforms that will help keep guns out of the hands of people who are mentally ill and criminals who have shown that they have a violent tendency. Now, where the rubber hits the road, obviously, is where, how do we balance those reforms with still making sure that people, good, safe, law-abiding citizens have the right to own guns? And that's where it gets tricky. But I think that's, again, why we need to have the ability to just talk openly and rationally about these issues. And I'm confident that we can find some steps forward that meet everyone's needs.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, for example, it almost sounds like you're saying you might be in favor of like a red flag law might be one aspect of your platform.
Yes. So generally open to red flag laws. Again, we have to be very, very careful. I think one of the aspects of Second Amendment rights that we sometimes ignore, you know, we talk about self-defense and home defense, and I think sometimes people roll their eyes like, oh yeah, like how many times are you going to need to use a gun in your home? I think another aspect that I do believe is important is it's a check on government. It's a check on government overreach. And I think that's where the red flag laws get a little dicey for Second Amendment defenders is, okay, we're saying we're going to give the government the right to take someone's gun away. So we just need to make sure we have proper safeguards and a really good process in place to make sure that right that we're ceding to government doesn't get abused. The other thing on gun rights that I really think we need to be focusing on more and we don't talk about much is the culture of violence that we are encouraging in our society. Think about the video games we're playing, the movies we're watching, the TV shows we're watching. I think those have a real influence on all of this violence, this uptick in violence in our society. And it never gets talked about. Nobody seems to be addressing that or complaining about it or pointing it out as an issue, but I think it's a real issue. How many times does somebody watch someone get killed or virtually kill someone themselves before they then go do it in real life?
Tell us about the decision to try to form the Better Party.
Yeah, when I started down this journey and decided to run for the Senate, I had no intention of forming a new party. That wasn't anywhere on the roadmap. But what I discovered as I really sat down and dug in to do this run was that the cards are incredibly stacked against independent candidates. The two parties have done a really good job of raising a lot of barriers to make sure independents can't be successful. And the biggest of those barriers is ballot access. So for me, in my race, the barrier is 10,000 votes to get on the ballot in Missouri. And getting those 10,000 votes takes a lot of resources. Whether you're going to pay professionals or you're going to gather volunteers to do it, it just takes a lot of time and resources. And it puts you behind the ball right from the start in your campaign. So what I realized was I could either spend my time and resources to get those 10,000 signatures and just get myself on the ballot, or I could spend the same time and resources to get 10,000 signatures and not just get myself on the ballot, but also open up ballot access for other like-minded independent candidates. And not just in this election, but in future elections as well. So ultimately, I decided it was a better use of my resources to open the door for a whole bunch of people rather than just myself. And that's what we've done. So last week, we submitted 25,000 signatures to the Secretary of State to establish the Better Party. There will be one other candidate that's running on the platform this time around. His name is Blake Ashby. He's running for the U.S. House out of the 1st District there in the St. Louis area. And in future elections, we'll have more time to recruit and vet candidates. So this is really just the beginning for Missouri voters having more moderate independent options in our elections.
How long will it be before you know if those signatures are accepted and approved?
You know, the Secretary of State's office wouldn't commit to a timeline, but we did the work. Well, so their absolute deadline is August 20th. So the latest we'll know is August 20th. But we did the work internally to validate those signatures. So we know at least 12,500 of those signatures are absolutely valid. So we have zero concerns about being able to get through that process.
And that would help you meet most deadlines for ballot printing then by August then, yes.
Yeah, we would.
Who do you have backing you?
For now, it is mostly my resources that are funding all of this. I've been blessed, to be successful in my business career. And then, friends and family, people in my network are the people that were the first supporters of the campaign. But as the word continues to get out, there's a real appetite for this. And so more and more people are stepping up to volunteer and to host events and to just be a part of this. There's still, anybody who's been deeply involved in politics has been deeply involved either as a Republican or a Democrat. So people who are kind of your typical politicos are still pretty hesitant and waiting on the sidelines trying to figure out, okay, is this really going to turn into something? So most of our donations come from people who have never donated politically before. And it's great, but it also means it's tough. It's a tough slog. Those people who are used to writing, $3,000 checks to political candidates, again, are still sitting on the sidelines. So we've had to fight for every inch and fight for every dollar, but we are better funded than I think any other independent campaign that's ever happened in Missouri.
Are you hoping to ride the wave of these? I think they've been called double haters or no-nos, people that they don't like either presidential candidate right now. Are you seeing that in Missouri that they don't like either main party candidate for Senate?
Absolutely. That's the frustration that we're trying to address, right? And I think the level of frustration, the level of discontent is higher this year, certainly than I've ever seen in my entire life. And so I think a lot of the political strategists are underestimating that level of discontent, and then we're going to surprise a lot of people.
Have you done any polling yet?
Yes, we did polling early on before I jumped in with both feet, and here's what the polling found. 70% of Missouri voters are open to voting for an independent or a third party candidate in this Senate race. And 43% of Missouri voters identify as independents. And then over half specifically want to see someone besides Josh Hawley in this particular office. And so all good signs. Obviously we have to get from people just being open to voting for me to actually knowing who I am and being ready to vote for me. But certainly the atmosphere is there and the conditions are right for someone to be able to pull off what I'm trying to pull off.
That leads me to my next question of who you think you might siphon more votes from. Would it be a Josh Hawley or would it be a Lucas Kuntz, for example?
Our main target is those 43% that identify as independents, and it's hard to tell exactly who they would be going for, Hawley or Kuntz. It's incredibly difficult for a Democrat to win in Missouri in today's day and age. But my positions generally, like I say, are center right positions. And so I expect if we're talking about those non-independents that I'll end up taking more Republicans than Democrats. But ultimately, we need to get most of those independents, like 85% of those independents. We need about 15% of the Republicans and we need about 5% of the Democrats. That's our winning path. And so that's what we'll be going for. But one of again, the beauty of running as an independent, I am not shaping, I'm not saying these are the people I need to get. And so I'm going to shape my message to reach those people and change my views to try to appeal to those people. I'm just telling people, look, here's my approach. I think it's a constructive approach. It's exactly the kind of approach that we need. Here's my stances on issues. And you can take them or leave them, but I think people are incredibly tired of politicians that have run every single thing they say through focus groups and through polling. And they're tired of that filtered sort of soundbite that they get from a normal politician. And that's frankly, that's part of the appeal, I think, of Donald Trump. So I guess I aim to be a much more positive and less destructive version of Donald Trump in that sense.
Have you heard or reached out to any of the existing independent lawmakers in Washington, D.C. to get their take on what it's like to run a campaign like this?
I have not talked to, you have Angus King, Bernie Sanders, Kyrsten Sinema. I haven't talked to any of those three of the official independents. I have spoken with Mitt Romney's team. I spoke with Jeff Flake. He's not there anymore, but he was kind of a little bit of a maverick himself, bucking the Republican Party. Spoken with a lot of people who have run Senate campaigns as independents. We have Craig Odier here in Missouri. A gentleman named Neil Simon ran in Missouri, Greg Orman ran in Kansas, Evan McMullen in Utah. I've spoken with all of those people, heard their experiences running as independents and the lessons that they learned and the challenges that they faced. I also spoken with folks like Adam Kinzinger's group, people who have kind of been ostracized by the two-party system because they had the courage to stand up and buck their party and stand up for what they felt was right. And so getting a lot of support and help from those folks, and hope to continue to open those doors. And yeah, obviously we need all the support we can get to win.
One last question for you. I know I've held you a long time. What would you say to people who say this is a waste of time and effort?
I think we've been all trained so well that this is a two-party system and you only have two options. And if you do anything other than those two options, you're throwing your vote away. And I mean, listen, I understand that argument. I've used that line of thinking myself in the past sometimes. But here's the reality about that argument. It only stays true if we continue to believe it. The second that voters wake up and realize, oh, wait a minute, I could choose something else, then that argument immediately ceases to be valid. And so that's really what we're doing, what we're fighting for. One of my old mentors used to always say, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. And I feel like 2024 is the year when we decide, oh, we need to do something radically different. If we want different results in Congress, we need to do something radically different. If we send a Republican there, nothing will change about the way things work in Washington. If we send a Democrat there, nothing will change about the way things work in Washington. So if people are serious about wanting real change, I think they can't send a member of a party there.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.